Well, I have something to confess. This sermon is unnecessary. How many times have you heard a pastor say that before? In one sense, the sermon is unnecessary because I've already covered Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and have sufficiently explained verse 4, which is the central message of the entire book. So I did not need to do another sermon on it. I could have moved on with verse 6. But what compelled me to do another sermon on Habakkuk 2:4 is this. This one verse is quoted 3 times in the New Testament. And those instances in which it is quoted are some of the most important verses in the entire New Testament. And so we are going on a treasure hunt to find more gold from this verse by looking at its usages in the New Testament. So this morning, the map for our treasure hunt will be the following. First, I'll briefly explain the meaning of Habakkuk 2:4 in its original context again. Secondly, we'll look at its usage, the usage of Habakkuk 2:4 in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Third, we'll look at its usage in Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11 together. And then finally, we'll put it all together and apply what we find for our lives so that we can live by faith. And so let's begin by refreshing our minds and our memories concerning the meaning of Habakkuk 2:4. Remember the context so far in Habakkuk. God informed Habakkuk that he is sending the wicked, unjust, unrighteous, ruthless Babylonians to discipline the people of Judah because of their sin and injustice and idolatry. To which Habakkuk asks, why are you allowing this evil, God? Why are you allowing it to happen in this fashion? Why are you allowing the unrighteous to succeed over the righteous? And the Lord responds to that question in chapter 2, verses 2 through 20. But arguably, the central, most important response is found in verse 4. In the second half of verse 4, the Lord says, "But the righteous shall live by his faith." Now, God does not directly answer Habakkuk's complaint of why are you allowing this. The Lord does not explain why he allows the unrighteous to succeed over the and oppress the righteous. He does not give a defense of how he governs the universe. He does not defend why he uses a wicked nation in order to accomplish his purposes. But the Lord does reveal something far more important, namely, how to live through any circumstance, even times of hardship and suffering and oppression. And so God's central response to Habakkuk's complaint in verse 4 is this: the righteous shall live by faith. That is how he answers Habakkuk's complaint. The more literal translation, according to the Hebrew, would be the righteous shall live by his faithfulness. Now that means that the life of the righteous will be characterized by faithfulness. That is, by faithful obedience to God and his commands. But something that is so crucial that we get right in our heads, especially as we're going to look at the usage in the New Testament, is that faithfulness and faith are inseparable. They're inseparable. You can only exhibit genuine faithfulness to the Lord if you possess genuine faith in the Lord. And if you possess genuine faith in the Lord, then that will be evidenced by genuine faithfulness and obedience to the Lord. And so faith and faithfulness are closely connected. We can therefore conclude that when the Lord says the righteous shall live by his faithfulness in Habakkuk 2:4, that this means that true believers will live continually trusting in the Lord no matter the circumstances. The life of the righteous will be characterized by their faithfulness to God, which they can only have because they possess genuine faith in the Lord. Those who are righteous, those who have a right relationship with God, who depend on Him, who possess genuine faith, these righteous ones will endure through life with all of its ups and downs by faith, by remaining faithful to the Lord. The righteous will live through the wickedness and the injustice of society. They will live through the invasion and the oppression of Babylon. How? By faith, by depending on the Lord, by remaining steadfastly devoted to Him. The righteous shall live by faith. Faithful believers will certainly die, even at the hands of the unrighteous. The Babylonians killed some of the righteous when they invaded. Faithful prophets were killed by unfaithful Israelites. Faithful believers were mauled by lions and beheaded and burned alive. But Habakkuk 2:4 does not mean, when it says the righteous shall live by faith, it does not mean that they will not die at the hands of the unrighteous. Rather, God reveals in this verse how those who are truly depend on Him will live and endure through any circumstance. The righteous will live by faithfully trusting in the Lord. And so that all of that is just review. This is a review of what Habakkuk 2:4 means in its original context. We'll now take a look at the three times that this verse is used in the New Testament, and we'll start with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. If you'd like, you can flip to Hebrews 10 in your Bibles. We're going to be looking at verses 32 through 39. I'll start reading it slowly so you can make your way there. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. I'll read that passage, and I'll be making comments along the way. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 32. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, that is, after you were saved, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. Let's stop right there. Does that sound familiar to you so far? Does that sound familiar to the context of Habakkuk? In Hebrews 10, we have faithful believers who are being persecuted and treated unjustly by those who are unrighteous. That's exactly what's going on in Habakkuk. You have the unrighteous invading, going to invade those who are righteous. At least some of the people in Judah are righteous, I should say. And so we have a similar context. Okay, continuing now with chapter 10, verse 34. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Oh, boy. I really want to preach a whole sermon just on that verse. But I won't. I'll refrain myself. Instead, I'll just say this. Notice what the author is doing here, the author of Hebrews. Even though they are being persecuted and made to suffer, these faithful believers are still faithfully obeying the Lord and His commands. They are not saying, God, if this is how you're going to treat me for following you, then I'm out of here. I'm done. I don't want any more of you. That's not their response. What do? They joyfully accept the plundering of their own property. They continue to do it. They continue to live by faith despite the suffering, despite the hardship and persecution. They still obey, even though they know that their obedience is going to lead to greater suffering, greater hardship, and greater injustices committed against them. Okay, so let's keep reading. Verse 35 of Hebrews 10. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance. That is, you need to keep being faithful. Why? So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For, verse 37, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. There it is, Habakkuk 2:4. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. And so what is the author of Hebrews doing here? He uses Habakkuk 2:4 to say that faithful believers who are reading the letter, he's saying to them that the righteous will live through all of life's circumstances, through the plundering of their goods, through being sent in prison, through being treated unjustly. They will live through all of their circumstances. How? By faithfully trusting in the Lord. All of this living by faith is evidenced by their faithful obedience to God and His commands. It's clear from this passage in Hebrews that the author does not think that faith is some one-time event in a believer's life. Rather, faith is the way that believers live their life. Every beat of their heart is lived by faith in the Lord. Faith, and subsequently faithfulness, is the pattern. It's the warp and woof of the genuine believer's life. Now, in Habakkuk, the focus is on enduring through the suffering from the unrighteous by faith, which is evidenced by faithfulness to God. And that is certainly present in Hebrews chapter 10. But the author of Hebrews expands that by making a clear connection between faith or faithfulness and eternal life. Take a look at verses 35 and 36 again. Verse 35, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, that is, need to keep being faithful, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So what the author is saying is that the believers need to keep being faithful, to keep living by faith, with the result that they will receive what is promised. That is, eternal life with God in heaven with resurrection bodies. And just to be sure that no one misunderstands me, the author is not saying that faithful obedience earns what is promised you, earns eternal life. Rather, he is saying what Paul and the rest of the Bible says, which is everyone who is saved by God and given true faith by God will give evidence of their genuine faith. How? By faithfully obeying God, by bearing fruit for the Lord and for His purposes. Now, notice then what the author grounds. The author then gives the grounds or the reason, the basis for this conclusion, using Habakkuk 2:4. 2:4 is the grounds for why he is saying this. He says in verse 36, believer, you need to keep being faithful, keep living by faith so that, in order that, you will receive what is promised. Why is that? What's the reason for that? He tells us the reason in verses 37 and 38. For, or because, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. In other words, here's a paraphrase of verses 36 through 38. Keep living by faith so that you will receive eternal life because God's righteous ones will live by faith. Now, further evidence that the author of Hebrews uses Habakkuk 2:4 to make this clear connection between faith and eternal life is how he describes those who contrast having genuine faith. Take a look in Hebrews 10:38 and 39. There are those who shrink back from the Lord. That is, those who abandon him, who reject him, who do not remain faithful to him. Those who shrink back from God are those who are described as not pleasing to him and who are destroyed. That certainly sounds like the fate of unbelievers at the final judgment. And so unbelievers who do not have genuine faith and therefore are not faithfully obedient to the Lord will receive what is promised to them, namely eternal damnation. But believers who do have genuine faith and therefore are genuinely faithfully obedient to the Lord will receive what is promised them, namely eternal life. Why? Because the righteous will live by faith. And so that is how the author of Hebrews uses Habakkuk 2:4. Now the other usages of Habakkuk 2:4 are found in Romans chapter 1 verse 17 and in Galatians 3:11. Since both of those verses are used by Paul in a very similar fashion, we are going to look at them together. And so I'm going to start by reading both of those passages with a little bit more for context. You can turn to them or you can just listen, but I'm going to be reading Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and then I'm going to read Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. So Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Okay, so in both of these passages, Paul is saying that the righteous shall receive eternal life and be saved from God's judgment by faith. That is, by truly believing and trusting in the Lord. That those who are righteous by faith, by trusting in the Lord, by believing in Him, they will live. They will have eternal life. Now, in the Galatians passage, there is the added emphasis that our salvation is not by works of the law, no matter how faithfully you might adhere to them. It's not by works of the law, rather by faith in God that you are justified. That is, declared righteous, declared to have a right standing with God, to be reconciled with God, and therefore given eternal life. It is all done by faith. Now, at first glance, and if you took a moment to think about it, it might seem like Paul is using the quote from Habakkuk 2:4 in a way that is different from how Habakkuk used it. In the context of Habakkuk, the righteous shall live by faith refers to how to live in the here and now, that is, our daily life, in the face of suffering, hardship, or any circumstance for that matter. Specifically, the righteous will live through the impending judgment of God through the Babylonians and any other suffering by their faith in God, as evidenced by their faithfulness to God. But when Paul uses it in Romans 1 and Galatians 3, the righteous shall live by faith seems to refer to how anyone can receive eternal life. The righteous shall receive eternal life and be saved from God's judgment by faith, that is, by truly trusting and believing in the Lord. And so, is Paul misusing Habakkuk 2:4? Is Paul quoting Habakkuk 2:4 flippantly and incorrectly? Is Paul cherry-picking this nice-sounding verse of Habakkuk 2:4 and plugging it in to his theology system? I don't think so. I don't think Paul is misusing Habakkuk 2:4. And there are a few reasons why I think that Paul is exactly right to quote Habakkuk 2:4 in his arguments found in Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. Here's one reason. First reason. In Habakkuk, God informs the prophet how genuine, God-fearing believers will live through the imminent judgment coming upon them from God. God is sending the Babylonians as a means of judgment against the people of Judah. And the judgment is going to fall on the entire nation. It's not like the judgment is only going to fall on the wicked and the righteous are not going to have to endure through it. The righteous in Judah starved just as much as the unrighteous in Judah when Babylon besieged them. And God tells Habakkuk how the faithful will live and endure through that judgment, namely by remaining faithful to God, by continuing to trust God through it. And we are right to extrapolate that to mean how true believers live through any suffering by faithfully trusting in the Lord. Well, the Apostle Paul, under the direction and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, takes it one step further. Just as Habakkuk 2:4 tells us how genuine believers will live through God's imminent judgment, Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11 tell us how genuine believers will live through God's final judgment. And that is, it's by faith that you receive eternal life and salvation from God's final judgment. And so in Habakkuk, the concern was imminent temporary judgment, while Paul rightly expands it and applies that principle, the principle of Habakkuk 2:4, to God's final eternal judgment. That's one reason why I think Paul uses it correctly. Second reason is this. I think Paul, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he dug down deep to the roots of Habakkuk 2:4 and pulled out the gold that he found there. It seems as if when Paul read Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous shall live by his faithfulness, he rightly deduced that the only faithfulness that matters to God, if we're talking about faithfulness, the only faithfulness that matters to God is a faithfulness that is rooted in faith in God. The only faithfulness that matters to God is a faithfulness that has a kind of faith that is in Him and in His Word and in His promises at its foundation. Consider this. Someone may be a faithful baker. They might bake bread faithfully every day. But if that faithfulness is not rooted in, it might be rooted in financial success or material gain. And if that's where that faithfulness is rooted in, if it's not rooted in God, then that faithfulness does not matter to God. That faithfulness will not save them from God's judgment. The only faithfulness that matters and the only faithfulness that will save you from God's wrath is a faithfulness that is rooted in faith in God. And similarly, Paul must have read Habakkuk 2:4 and asked, well, who exactly are the righteous that God is referring to here in this verse? And Paul rightly deduced that the only righteousness that God accepts is the righteousness through faith in Him and in His Word and in His promises. Look, there are plenty of people who are righteous, morally upstanding people. There are plenty of people who obey the law and who are moral people. And yet, if their righteous behavior is based on anything else other than faith in God, they will not be accepted by God or even counted righteous by Him. The only righteousness that God accepts is a righteousness that is through faith in Him and in His Word and in His promises. We must remember, this is so important for us to remember, that the way to be counted righteous in the Old Testament is not different from how you are counted righteous in the New Testament. Old Testament believers were not counted righteous because they were really good at keeping the law. That is not what made an Old Testament believer righteous. No, Old Testament believers and New Testament believers are both considered righteous in the same exact way. It did not change between the two Testaments. They are made righteous, declared righteous by faith in the Lord. And so this is what Paul concludes. If someone has this kind of faith, which brings him into a right relationship with God, then that person will live. That person will live a life here on earth marked by righteous faithfulness to God, and that person will live in that righteousness for all eternity. The righteous shall live both now and into eternity by faith. And so I think Paul correctly uses Habakkuk 2:4. The context and the immediate application of Habakkuk 2:4 and the passages of Romans 1 and Galatians 3, they might be different, but the underlying principle and basis is the same in all of these passages. The righteous shall live by faith. Okay, so now that we understand how these three New Testament passages use Habakkuk 2:4, ready to put it all together, we can now see the fuller picture of how this crucially important statement, the righteous shall live by faith, and what it means for our lives. Given this picture, I want to draw out a few applications concerning this statement for us today. Now, I have four truths based on this critical phrase, the righteous shall live by faith, which will directly impact how we live our lives. I pray that you would believe these truths wholeheartedly and then live them out. Truth number one, we are declared righteous by faith. The only way that anyone is saved from God's wrath and declared righteous in God's sight is by faith. It is not by works. It is not by good deeds. It is not by strict adherence to the law. It is only by faith. When God gives you the faith to truly trust in Jesus, in His work on the cross in order to pay for your sins, then God counts that faith which He gave to you as righteousness. Jesus has paid it all on the cross, and now your relationship with God is restored. All of this and more is accomplished for you by faith alone, in Christ alone, and not anything that you could do or anything about you. This truth is so important because what is one of the core tenets of the gospel message. It's one of the central pillars to the Protestant Reformation. And without this truth, we have no hope of salvation. No hope of escaping God's wrath towards our sins. And so thanks be to God that the righteous shall live by faith. Praise God that He has declared that righteousness and salvation from His wrath is accomplished by faith in Him. Second truth, faith always leads to faithfulness. Faith leads to faithfulness. I've already said it, but faith and faithfulness are inseparable. You can only express genuine faithfulness and obedience to the Lord if and only if you possess genuine faith in the Lord. And if you possess genuine faith in the Lord, then it will, count on it, it will be evidenced by genuine faithfulness and obedience to the Lord. It is troubling, to say the least, if someone claims to have faith in God and yet there is no evidence in their life of faithful obedience to the Lord. If they are not bearing fruit for God and not being faithfully obedient to the Lord, there are some question marks as to whether they actually have genuine faith. And this is concerning because true faith always leads to true faithfulness. When God gives you saving faith, you are transformed and given new desires and a new heart such that you will desire to walk in faithful obedience to God and His commands. True faith in God will always lead to faithfulness to God. Truth number three, endure this life by faith. Endure this life by faith. That the righteous shall live by faith informs us how to live in the here and now. We are to endure through whatever comes into our life by faithfully trusting in the Lord. Even when your world comes crashing down around you, even when life just doesn't seem to make sense, we remember the song, when all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And so, when a tree branch crashes through your roof, or you're struggling to financially make ends meet, or you're besieged by family conflict and drama, or you're suffering from chronic pain that will not relent, or a fire destroys all your possessions, or a doctor gives you the bad news that it's inoperable cancer, or you're watching a loved one's mind deteriorate from Alzheimer's disease, or you're ridiculed and ostracized because of your faith, or you face any other hardship and suffering, brothers and sisters, endure through it by faith. Endure through any suffering and any circumstance by faithfully trusting in the Lord. Trust that He is good, that He is sovereign, that He has good purposes for whatever enters into your life, even if you don't understand why He is allowing it to happen. Trust in His precious promises that He is faithful to keep to true believers. Find great comfort and hope in that the pains and troubles and trials and sufferings of this world are temporary and fleeting. Your suffering, note this, your suffering has an end date. Your suffering will expire one day. It won't always be so. Let the reality of your future glory encourage you to endure through the difficulties in the here and now by faith. Before I mention the fourth truth, let me read a portion of a poem that I wrote a few years ago that I think might be relevant to this topic. When the world leaves you confused and distraught, remember, beloved, that which He taught. He is with you always, every page of your story, and at work in all things for our good and His glory. Our God holds all of our tomorrows, all of our triumphs, and all of our sorrows. In joy or dread, to Him we must hold fast, for His good purposes will come to pass. And so do not despair or be in great fear, for God's in control of all things down here. Our good King reigns over all of our days. Let it lead us to comfort, joy, and ceaseless praise. And so, brothers and sisters, that the righteous shall live by faith means believers will endure this life by faith. That is, by faithfully trusting in the Lord. And quickly now, the fourth truth. Enjoy eternal life by faith. Enjoy eternal life by faith. If by faith you've been saved, and if by faith you stand on the promises of God, then one day you will, by faith, enjoy the glories of eternal life with God in heaven with your glorious resurrection body. The world saturated with sin, sickness, suffering, and sorrow is not how it is meant to be. Though brokenness and futility and corruption and decay are what is normal now, it won't always be so. The day is coming when Christ will return and make all things new, and those who trusted in Him by faith will enjoy Him and the restored creation for all eternity. That the righteous shall live by faith means believers will enjoy eternal life by faith. And so, brothers and sisters, as we close now, I want to draw your attention briefly to Hebrews 10 again. If you have it open, that's great. If not, just listen. Hebrews 10, verses 37 and 38. There we read this. For yet a little while, and the coming one, that is Jesus, the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And so what this means is that Jesus, the coming one, is coming soon. And because He is coming soon, that gives us hope to endure life in all of its circumstances until that day arrives. And when He comes, your faith will be turned to sight, and you will fully experience eternal life with Him. And so, let's be a people who resolve to live by faith until he comes, and then forevermore after he comes. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Well, gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious truth. You proclaim, you declare, the righteous shall live by faith. We will endure through this life by faithfully trusting you, and we have eternal life by faith in you. Would you help us to live out these truths, to believe them deep down in the core of our souls? And would you help us to go forth in this place and live by faith? We ask these things, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.